welcome to Outbeat Radio, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have Sherry Phillips and Yolanda Phillips Guzman. Sherry is a fourth-generation Sonoma County native, one of six girls, out of which four are lesbian. Sherry has been a professional singer for the band Hangman's Daughter, toured nationally, and has recorded four studio albums and is currently recording her fifth record. Sherry has also been in the healing arts since she was 17, owns her own business, Your Zen Matters, and is an ordained minister and breath work facilitator. Sherry is an out and proud lesbian and has recently married her friend of 17 years. Sherry has a 12-year-old daughter with whom she had with her ex-female partner and now shared custody. Sherry will be co-author in a book being released on April 6th, Shaman Heart, Turning Pain into Passion and Purpose. Sherry writes of her journey with grief and the recent traumatic passing of her sister.
Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is exciting. Glad to be here. Yeah.
Can't wait to learn more about you.
Yay.
And Yolanda is a Southern California native with roots here in Sonoma County as well. She's one of five children. She's been involved in and she's passionate about outreach programs, and she's worked several years in group homes for children and worked as a victim's advocate for the district attorney's office before taking a job at the Grayton Casino as a surveillance supervisor 5 years ago. Yolanda has twin 17-year-old boys with whom she adopted with her ex-wife when they were 11, and she recently married Sherry, her friend of 17 years. And before we welcome Yolanda, they were married on October 2nd, 2021, and Yolanda is now 14 weeks pregnant with twin girls. Oh my gosh. Welcome, Yolanda.
Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to be here.
We can't wait to hear more about your story and your kids and
exactly.
All the kids.
All the kids, right.
Stay tuned to learn more about Yolanda and Sherry. But first, here's news and events from Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of May 1st, 2022. With Pride Month just weeks away, ExxonMobil is unsuccessfully trying to reassure its LGBTQ employees that it still supports them after the company banned the flying of the Rainbow Pride flag at all of its office locations. The company recently decided not to allow its offices to fly, quote, external position flags, including the Black Lives Matter flag and Rainbow Pride flags, from any flagpole on an ExxonMobil property. In response, its employees' pride group feels let down. ExxonMobil received an 85 out of 100 points from the Human Rights Campaign in its 2022 Corporate Equality Index. The company's decision has made members of Exxon's employee pride group in Houston refuse to represent the company at the city's June 25th Pride Parade. The ExxonMobil pride group said in an email, quote, "It's difficult to reconcile how ExxonMobil recognizes the value of promoting our corporation as supportive of the community with advertisements, pride parade participation, and social media posts, but now believes it's inappropriate to visibly show support for our LGBTQ employees at the workplace." While ExxonMobil amended its anti-discrimination policies to include sexual orientation and gender identity back in 2015, the company's latest move is clearly supporting anti-inclusive right-wing policies. And tomorrow will mark the 50th anniversary of a speech given by Dr. John Fryer anonymously to an audience of his professional colleagues at the annual American Psychiatric Association convention back in 1972. The speech called for an end to the APA's designation of homosexuality as a psychiatric disorder. It had to have been a surreal scene. a standing room only audience packed the hall at the 1972 Dallas conference, watching a man dressed in what many remember as a full-face rubber mask of then-President Richard Nixon, wearing a wig and an oversized tuxedo, and using a voice modulator to speak. He said to the audience, quote, "I am a homosexual and I am a psychiatrist," end quote. Back then, if his identity was known, Fryer would have lost his license to practice. That speech, roughly 1,100 words in length and less than two full pages, did more to change the lives of LGBTQ Americans than arguably any other speech, protest, or action. The anniversary is being marked this week with several observances and proclamations both in Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., including proclamations issued by both the Philadelphia City Council and the Governor of Pennsylvania, and resolutions being submitted to Congress, which are currently sitting in committee. His residence at 138 West Walnut Lane in Philadelphia was added last month to the Philadelphia Register of Historic Places. And here locally, the Louise Lawrence Transgender Archive in Vallejo was damaged last month after a hit-and-run driver plowed into the converted garage that houses it and then fled. Ms. Bob Davis, a trans woman who founded the archive back in 2017 and opened it a year later in 2018, told the Bay Area Reporter in a phone interview that no one was injured during the incident, which occurred on the 31st of March. That just happens to be this year's Transgender Day of Visibility. Neighbors said the driver lost control, smashed through the rear wall of the archive, and then ran. He hasn't been seen since. Davis said, quote, "The damage was largely confined to the office, which is one of two rooms that house the small archive. It's totally obliterated," end quote. The archive is named in honor of the late Northern California transgender pioneer Louise Lawrence, who began living full-time as a woman in 1942, first in Berkeley and then in San Francisco. She, along with Virginia Prince and others, published the first incarnation of Transvestia in 1952. Lawrence's address book was the initial subscription list, and she was instrumental in developing the trans community's connection to pioneering sex researchers such as Dr. Alfred Kinsey and Dr. Harry Benjamin. Davis says she's met with an insurance adjuster and is awaiting an estimate, but the repair work will be pretty significant. The foundation is cracked, she noted, and there may be foundation damage in other rooms. The archive is now closed and will remain closed probably through the summer. The GLBT Historical Society in San Francisco has launched a fundraiser, and you can learn more at glbthistory.org/Louise-Lawrence. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, you are listening to Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan. And as our guests tonight, we have Sherry and Yolanda, married, pregnant, and dare I say, happy, happy, happy. All right. So here we go. So Sherry, why don't you start us off and just tell us, tell the listeners, tell us something about yourself. What do you want us to know about you?
Well, first of all, I am loving being a fourth generation Sonoma County person. When I was with my ex, brought my daughter back here when she started kindergarten so that she could grow up here as well. I was in Tennessee. You know, it's a very different culture out there. And I knew that I wanted her to grow up in this amazing, beautiful county that we live in that we, I think, take for granted. I'm passionate about helping people. You know, I think I was born to sort of walk between the worlds, and that has come through me since I was a little girl. I've, you know, seen spirits, and I've, you know, been really drawn to healing and singing. And so for me, you know, I've been very fortunate to get to write music and play with some amazing musicians and travel and tour and do my healing practice. I've kind of done those at the same time my whole life. And so coming back to Sonoma County 6 years ago, after living in Tennessee, starting back up, you know, with my band and also my healing practice, and then becoming during that time an ordained minister and a shamanic breathwork practitioner, which, wow, I'm just, that's like my favorite thing. You know, when you finally taste chocolate for the first time, you want everyone to taste chocolate. That's how I feel about breathwork. It's, I've just been able to hold space and watch people change their lives. And they're doing the work themselves. It's just, it's gorgeous. And so that's kind of what I am spending my time doing these days. I love getting, you know, we're working on a fifth record, and then also, you know, coming into starting to do breath work in person again, which is so fantastic. After the shelter in place, there was no gigs, there was no breath work, there was no massage. It's like, who am I without all the things? So in that way, it's been really good. And I got to spend a different kind of time with my beautiful now wife, Yolanda, because we, prior to the pandemic, we did not know as friends that we were headed this direction. So yeah, that's me. That's me a little bit. Yeah.
Well, we're going to learn all about that yummy stuff you just shared. So, but first we're going to check in with Yolanda. Is there something else you want to share?
I moved up here when I was 19. I'm 37 now. And I just kind of fell in love with Sonoma County. I had family here. So, you know, getting on my feet was a little hard, but able to do it. And then I started working in group homes, found a really big passion for that. You know, just working with the youth in the community and having that growth in me, not knowing that's, you know, that's what I love to do. And then, you know, I kind of switched gears and went to the district attorney's office as a victim advocate. And that was another passion. It's like, oh, I'm finding myself that I like to help people. I like to be the support person. So very different from what I'm doing now. I'm actually a manager in the surveillance department at the Grayton Casino. So it's a little different, more of the investigation part, but I'm still finding myself wanting to help out the community and be supportive or be that support role. So about a year ago, Sherry introduced me to breathwork, went to Teotihuacan twice.
Like 3 years ago now.
Oh.
Where is it that you went 3 years ago?
Teotihuacan, Mexico. So it's near Mexico City. Did some personal work and found that I really have a passion for the breathwork mandala modality. And I became an ordained minister. So I'm kind of a support person in the world that Sherry, you know, absolutely loves. And so just kind of from there, we've just kind of connected and here we are.
Thank you for telling us a little bit about you, Yolanda. And wow, you have a lot going on.
Yes, we do.
So I'm curious, you said the pandemic led you in a direction that you didn't know was going to happen. So Yolanda, could you say more about that?
Yeah. So I was going through a separation with my ex-wife. I had moved out, had my own apartment with me and my two twin boys. We kind of decided that we were going to share custody. So we went week on, week off. The pandemic hit as soon as, kind of shortly after I had moved out. And after that, Sherry and I, I wasn't looking for anything. You know, I was just got out of a 14-year relationship with my ex-wife. And I'm like, I'm not ready. And we kind of just, we spent time together. We were there for each other. We had conversations. And I think, you know, it's that cliche, one thing led to another. It was like, oh, the pandemic really made us sit down and not have the world so busy around us. We're just constantly moving. She's very, very busy. I was doing my own thing. And the pandemic just really sat us down to be like, hey, take a minute. You know, there might be something here, and really, really woke us up, I think.
Yeah, an opportunity to know each other differently.
Yeah.
17 years of a friendship, that's a long time.
Yeah, so she was married to someone I've known since I was 15. They were married like 2 years, but they were together a long time. So Yolanda's always been folded into our family. Mm-hmm. We're those people that at family gatherings, there's very few people that are blood related. We're all like chosen family. And so, you know, Yolanda and her ex-wife and the boys were all, that's always been part of it. So knowing her from that perspective.
Yeah.
And then, you know, starting to know her through when she started coming and doing the personal work. And Teotihuacan is where the pyramids are down in Mexico. And that's the work we do, is we utilize the journey that the pyramids were built upon. There was an actual intentional spiritual journey that we follow that through the pyramids. And so it's part of the week-long journey down there. It's really cool. So supporting her through that as her friend. Yeah, we just, you know, week on, week off with our kids, we would have time and conversations and dinners and, you know, over at my sister's house a lot. That was a really safe sanctuary, you know, and we were both going through breakups at the time and just helping each other heal.
Yeah, I think the commonality of what we wanted from that point on, or what we were really looking for in a relationship, you know, we weren't finding it anywhere else. And it was like,
oh, you're right there.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right in front of me.
Right in front of me. What is happening, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Leap of faith, man. Leap of faith. I had 7,000 reasons why we should never, ever do this. And it's the best decision we ever made, I think.
Yeah. How did you know that? Oh, you're right there. When was it a mutual recognition, or did one person bring it up and the other one went, oh, or how did it? I'm really curious.
I think for me, like I said, the commonality was mm-hmm. very, very apparent. It was right in front of my face. And I'm like, oh my God, could it be, or could it not be? Is this just me coming off of a 14-year relationship and trying to find somebody or something to grab onto? Because 14 years, I was 19 when I got with my ex-wife. So, you know, I pursued Sherry. I did. I will say that I pursued her, and I was patient at the same time.
Yeah.
I heard her reservations around it. And I'm like, I hear you. I understand. I'm not going anywhere.
And our chemistry, there was a lot of physical chemistry that was obvious probably a couple of years ago. It's like, oh, no. But then it was probably early 2020 when we went and saw Winona in the city.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, she finally is like, will you just go on a date night with me? And I'm like, okay. And literally that also cliche, you know, when you know that. We like to say we're the green light brigade. And when the light goes green, you just move forward. And so the lights went green. And within a year, we were engaged, had bought a house, and we're planning our wedding. Like, it's just a knowing.
I think the other piece to that is there was no actual trying. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to be somebody or do things or be over the top or impressing her. There was no trying. It was just raw and
friends. We were friends,
it was just raw emotions were able to happen, and I was able to be myself as well as she. You know, there was no, oh, I can't do that, or you know, that shyness, or that when you're in a
pretense
a new relationship, there's no preparation. It was just, this is what you're getting. And I think that's what brought us closer together, and like, oh, I don't have to be anything but me with you.
Isn't that blessing?
It's so liberating and free not to have to put on airs or.
Right. And I can be a lot. I can be a lot. I'm a very intense Aries, fire in three houses. I change my mind on a dime, and I call her Tree is my nickname for her because since I've known, like, even through our friendships, like, she's just this solid, still water redwood tree. And I get to decorate and swirl and do, and she's just always like, I mean, and I've never been with a partner that was comfortable in my power, if that makes sense.
Comfortable with your power?
Yeah, my power. Like, and so she'll just reach across the table if I'm swirling and just be, touch my hand and go, how you doing? And I know she sees me and she's not triggered by that. You know, she's not triggered by my swirling. And that's, I've never had that. And I think I stimulate your stillness.
Yeah, that's
if you will.
That is for sure. It's like there's a lot going on over there. I'm just gonna sit right here.
Perfect match. Oh my word. I love that image of you, Yolanda, the way you presented it, Sherry. It's very beautiful. The stillness, the grounding of that redwood tree. Yeah. Beautiful. So I'm thinking about you, Sherry, when you said the hesitation before the green light. I'm imagining family and friends and your community. Can you speak to that?
Yes, she was with someone that I was friends with for years, you know, more acquaintances in the last 10 years, but still considered family. And so for me, that was just never going to be a line I crossed. That just wasn't. And then they were done. And then she moved out. The calling for us to come together felt so led by spirit, if you will, and the same goals in life, the same moral foundations, you know, the way in which we live and want to live were so resonant. I got a whole committee of people that have like helped me finally say, and they were people that knew the fullness and were also friends with everyone involved. And they're like, it's okay. Move forward. This is for you. And so that was hard. And her age, not my first rodeo. And I'm like, no. My intellect was a red light. My spirit, my heart, my higher knowing was a green light. And so it just took time and her clarity and her not efforting and not swirling. Just like, and that's one of the things I love about her, about Yolanda. She's very quiet. And when she knows, she knows. And when she says something, she's done her research, so to speak. And so there's a clarity and a strength of her sureness in life that she was sure before me. And so she just stayed in her sure. She stayed in her green light. She's like, I'm here when you figure it out that this is where we're headed, right? Like, so that, you know, her steadiness and my, and I had work to do. I still had work to do, you know, to really know that I received, that I was worth having my love for myself reflected back to me and my partner. I was never there before. I always needed the bit of rejection or the not being chosen, or, you know, I needed to work those things out. And so this is none of that. And so I had to get clean and clear with that before I was ready.
How'd you do that?
Breath work. You know, shamanic breath work, like when we speak of Teotihuacan, Mexico, and now I go down there and teach with my peers, but that is they're week-long intensives where you are literally sweat lodge, fire walks, shamanic breath work sessions, and then going over to utilizing the indigenous beautiful wisdom that they share. With open hearts, they share. They're like, no, this is the medicine. You know, it will die if nobody shares this. And for me, I mean, years of therapy. And it wasn't addressing my core belief system that was stuck in my body. And so that kind of work for me, it's somatic, and it lets your cellular body change and your belief system shift. And so for me, just over time, the last big journeys I did down there, I felt it clear. I realized I had a journey where I was shown that I was molested at 7 years old. And like, I had just never consciously known that, but it lived in my body. It lived in my belief system about what my worth was. And so when I broke through that barrier, it made everything made sense. And within a year, I was open to Yolanda's love and my own.
That's beautiful, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Really beautiful. Seems like a powerful experience. I mean, the whole spiritual week component of it all. It's like, so we want to have you share that information, you know, your website or some kind of contact, because I know people are listening and people are curious, you know, about that.
Would you like me to share that now? Okay. The website. Yeah.
We're
my website is yourzenmatters.com. YourZenMatters.com.
So all lowercase, no spaces. Okay. Yes.
And I'm going to be meeting with my team next week. And so we're going to be putting some journeys on the books for the next about 18 months. There'll be a few things to look forward to. Excited.
So you have to work around giving the tours and doing that shamanic work, which is very intense down there. You're dealing with going to be a new mom. You're dealing with being a mom already. You're dealing with your singing career and your recording and,
exactly.
and.
Yes.
Sherry, tell us about your daughter, and then Yolanda, you tell us about your sons.
I was with my ex-partner for 8 years in Nashville, met her in Nashville, and she was born in 2009, and we separated in 2012, and in 2014, I then moved back to California with her. She is stunning, brilliant. She just brought her report card home last night. It's like all A pluses. She's performing in the Wizard of Oz right now, and she loves soccer. And the thing I'm, I guess, most proud of or inspired by is that she's one of the kindest kids. And, you know, she's getting to grow up with three moms, and she's on the Gay Straight Alliance at her school. And her tribe has two beautiful transgendered children. and one lesbian. And, you know, those are the friendships that she is curating. And she's just a really, I think, kind of a future leader, amazing, purposeful kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why not do it again?
So how old is she now?
She's 12 and a half. And she's taller than me. She's a presence. She's about almost 5'8". You know when she's in the room, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Taking after mama.
Not the grades, but that's okay. That's all right. Not my point of genius. It's okay.
Just one more quick question. What role is she playing in Wizard of Oz?
She is Auntie M.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she couldn't do anything more because she's playing soccer, so okay. She's had to make a choice.
Yeah. All right. And Yolanda, your sons, your twin 17-year-olds.
Yes, they are about to be 18 in April. My ex-wife and I, we adopted them when they were 11. I've always wanted children. I've wanted babies, either of my own or adopting babies, you know, infants. That was one of the things that my ex and I disagreed on. So I settled. She's like, let's do older kids. I'm like, that's fine. I just want kids in my life. So we went through the adoption process here in Sonoma County. And it took about a year for us to finally be in the role of seeing kids of who needed to be adopted. And the boys were actually the second set of kids that we saw. And we just kind of fell in love with their kind of personality. They were quiet and they were, you know, just wanting to be in a family. You know, you get a couple meets. I think it's like 5 meetings with them where you kind of are able to take them out of the group home and spend some time with them. And they just wanted family. They just wanted to be loved and be a part of something. And so we took them on and here we are. They're going to be 18 in April and they're doing their best. You know, they're great kids. They love playing video games, you know, like any normal teen would be. And Isaac is on the spectrum. He's been diagnosed autistic. So we were able to get him the assistance that he needed while they were with us because they hadn't diagnosed him while he was in the group home. So did a little fighting for that. And Daniel was in it's called SCO, which means he's in it's like a special ed class. Had to do some fighting with him on that portion as well. So now he's in the regular school system trying to graduate and do his thing. So those kids have been handed a hard hand and they're doing really well. So
yeah.
Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Really, blessings. Yeah, because Cher and I, we've been foster parents we're foster parents for years, you know, and I worked in group homes. And so, yeah, it's wonderful work.
Yeah, it's very rewarding for sure. You know, and to have them 4 or 5 years later calling us mom, it's a big thing. So
huge.
You both come from big families. I mean, 5 kids in your family, 6 in your family. Wow. Yeah.
Well, my 3 half sisters. Funny story. They've always been back east. I was born in New York and my oldest half sister is the same age as I am. So that's part of why my mom left. but I've met them 3 different times, but when my sister passed away recently, they just flew out for the service. And so we got to spend 4 days with them and that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Just as, you know, really a sisterhood, a strong sisterhood that you can't really explain. Past genetics and DNA, it's a very fascinating. And yeah, 4 out of the 6 girls are lesbians, which I find also just fascinating.
For me, I'm the middle of my 5 siblings. So my biological father had 2 children in Mexico, came to the States and, you know, had his citizenship and all that stuff and met my mom and said he wasn't married when he was. Had me. And then, you know, he kind of moved on and my mom left him, said, I'm not dealing with this. I'm not a homewrecker. So then he had his other 2 kids. So I'm the middle of 5 and it's kind of the same situation with Sherry. You know, I wasn't necessarily raised with them, but the bond and just that bond that you have with your siblings is so tight. Like we, you know, I see them maybe 3 times a year because they live in Southern California, but it's like, you know, we're picking up where we left off. We never skipped a beat. So, and I am the only lesbian in the group. So, yeah.
Well, we can't wait to hear more, but we do have to break for a music break right now. And y'all brought a song. So Sherry, could you introduce the song? Tell us why it means so much to you.
Gonna make me cry. We walked down the aisle to Conversations in the Dark by John Legend. And it just really speaks to that place of when you are reflecting back from your partner, that space that the someone that just knows you. They see you before you see yourself, and they hold your hand and help you know your heart better. And we both felt so strongly about that. And then we heard that song. We're like, oh my gosh, he wrote this for us. Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, just take a listen to Conversations in the Dark by John Legend, and we'll see you on the other side.
Talk, let's have conversations in the dark. World is sleeping, I'm awake with you. With you. Watch movies that we both already seen. I ain't even looking at the screen, it's true. I've got my eyes on you. And you say that you're not worthy. You get hung up on your flaws. But in my eyes, you are perfect as you are. I will never try to change you, change you. I will always want the same you, same you. Swear on everything I pray to that I won't break your heart. I'll be there when you get lonely, lonely. Keep the secrets that you told me. And your love is all you owe me. And I won't break your heart. On Sunday mornings we sleep until noon. Well, I could sleep forever next to you. Next to you. And we got places we both gotta be. But there ain't nothing I would rather do than blow up all my plans for you. And you say that you're not worthy and get hung up on your flaws. But in my eyes you are perfect. As you are, as you are. I will never try to change you, change you. I will always want the same you, same you. Swear on everything I pray to that I won't break your heart. I'll be there when you get lonely, lonely. Keep the secrets that you told me, told me. And your days, it seems so hard. My darling, you should know this. My love is everywhere you are. I will never try to change you, change you. I will always want the same you, same you. Swear on everything I pray to.
If you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and we are talking with Sherry Phillips and Yolanda Phillips Guzman. And the first segment, we were getting to know them a little bit. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what's going on in their lives.
That's for sure. So welcome back, everyone. Yeah, Sherry and Yolanda, we didn't talk about in the audience, you know, we radio, so people don't get to see who you are, right? So as a biracial or interracial partnership, marriage, we would like to know more about how that is affecting, or is that a part of your relationship at all, you know, as you go out into the world? Could you share a little bit about that?
For those that you can't see me, I'm Mexican.
I'm white, very white.
I'm my father's first child born in the United States, half first generation here. And as somebody of color, it is interesting to be in a biracial relationship. This is probably my first one. My ex-wife was Italian and Argentinian. And then, you know, prior relationships that were majority Hispanic as well. So first biracial relationship. And, you know, there are some differences, but there's a lot of commonalities that I wouldn't really expect either. And that could just be the way we were raised. But I think I saw a big difference for us when we went down to Mexico for our honeymoon and we saw my dad after I hadn't seen him for 6 years. We went to Sayulita, which is, you know, it's more of a touristy place. But when we went out to my dad's house, it was about 2 hours from there. So it was just, you know, agave farms and avocado farms and very, very small where he was at. It's like a little, you know, ranch style area. And taking Sherry there with me was like an eye opener for me. Like, oh my God, you are the minority here. You are the only blonde hair, blue eyed person here in this.
Yeah.
In this situation. And we're talking Spanish and having these full conversations. And she's looking at me like, what are you saying? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Her dad owns an avocado farm and the village has about 200 people in it. It's in the up in the mountains, and the most gorgeous stuff you've only seen in photographs, like Colorado's clumps close. But, you know, meeting her aunts and meeting her cousins, and they're all staring at me. One of her aunts was actually like giggling and she's like, we've never seen someone with blue eyes here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, like, you know, being a white girl in America, it's like, I've always sought out those places where I can grow and where I can learn. But to be in that reverse place where I'm the minority was, I actually loved it. I loved getting to have another perspective to draw from, you know, and I can speak some Spanish, but I'm certainly not fluent to the point where, you know, it's just little things like poured milk right from the cow and drank the cow's milk. And the village is untouched by our modern craziness. Mm-hmm. And I have such a deep love and appreciation for the Mexican culture.
Yeah, she always
have. I've been always gravitated towards most of my friends in high school were of color, and that's Sebastopol, so that's saying something. You know, just from deep, deep appreciation and love. And I do see it sometimes, depending on where we go, like if we're holding hands, or if I'm out with the boys, or she's out with Lily. Mm-hmm. You sense it more than I do. I certainly sense, like, why are you with this Mexican kid? That sensation. And, you know, that may be an assumption, but I'm fairly sensitive.
Yeah, there's definitely looks for sure. You know, I've been out with Lily, who's very fair skin. I'm very dark Mexican, dark hair. And, you know, Lily's super affectionate with me because I've known her since she was a baby, and especially since she was five, her and I've been really, really close. So she's, you know, super affectionate with me, and like she'll hug me in the store, and, you know, and I get people who just like look at me and I'm like, what are you looking at? But there's definitely those things. And it's how do we have those conversations with our children of what are they looking at if they ever notice? You know, I've noticed a couple of times it's been me and the boys and we're talking to somebody in the store and this white gentleman comes over and he starts yelling at us because we're quote unquote blocking the way when there's plenty of room for him to go by. And the boys will notice, well, why did he have to yell at us like that? And it's like, well, some people are angry and, you know, we can't always make it about race. And sometimes it is, but I'm never going to emphasize that with the kids if I don't have to. But I will say that with Sherry and I, we're very aware, and I'm very grateful that she's super aware of, like, she'll say, well, you know, white privilege and stuff like that. She's super aware of that stuff. And it's kind of nice to be with somebody who's not as closed-minded or naive about that stuff. We are that biracial couple, just like anybody else. So
And our children are being exposed. You know, we have a really mixed bag in our family. Like all three of my half sisters are half Seneca Indian. And so there's that mix. And then I'm loving that my white daughter, white blonde haired, blue eyed daughter, is being raised in a conscious family, the blended family. Mm-hmm. And she is, you know, like I said earlier, like she's going to be one of those kids because she's white, blonde hair, blue eyes. She's going to have access to a place where she can make a difference, I think.
To speak to that, we were talking about, she notices a lot of these history months for other cultures and stuff like that. And there's not really anything for the Hispanic community. There's no month. There's Cinco de Mayo, which is an Americanized quote unquote holiday. But she actually was kind of listening to our conversation. Like, we don't really get taught that stuff in the history books. If we do, it's very, very, it's a slice of the pie that's you barely even touch on. And she actually went to school and said, can we learn about somebody who's in the Hispanic community, like Cesar Chavez or something like that? So she's hearing things and she's like, well, wait a minute. And really being that advocate, I think we're doing okay.
And I do, like, she touched on the fact that we were raised, because she said early on, you're the brownest white person I've ever met. And I'm like, okay, thank you so much. But we grew up in poverty. My family, mm-hmm. like, we just, our door, my mom was like, open door. If you don't have a place to stay, you're staying with us. You know, you make do with what you have. And so just there's a level of resonance around how the cultures, my family culture anyway, and her family mm-hmm. culture. I think that's part of why we came together as well.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. It's nice. I hear you saying, Yolanda, it's nice to have a white person in your corner, you know, to have that understanding.
Yeah, there's a lot of understanding. And Sherry's also that advocate as well. You know, she's that one person who would take it to the next blonde hair, blue eyed, or, you know, and is an educator in that sense, as well as Lily. So I think it's panning out pretty good.
You didn't mention the race of your two sons, but you said that you were in the store talking and the white man got mad at you all. So are your sons people of color?
Yes, they are Hispanic as well. Yeah.
And they live with you.
Yeah, we do 50-50. I'm still doing half and half with my ex-wife.
So she's in Sonoma County then?
She's in Sebastopol. Yeah, she's in Sebastopol. We're in Santa Rosa. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. So speaking about kids, you have some kids in your tum-tum. What's going on with that?
We are officially 14 weeks pregnant today. We just found out
yesterday
that we're having two girls. We were excited and just a pinch sad that we weren't having at least one boy to even it out with the kids, but we're super grateful that they're healthy. They've got all their fingers. We've done the testing that they're on the right track. So,
and I was able, this is a miracle. My daughter, we used a donor. My ex and I used a donor through the Pacific Coast Sperm Bank here in LA. And there's a group we're on Facebook for the parents of that donor. And so we can share medical information and stuff. And so the head of that Facebook group, I reached out because Yolanda's always wanted children and mm-hmm. I'm a huge supporter of what are your dreams? Let's make them come true. She does that for me as well. But I reached out on a whim. I'm like, to the lady, I'm like, you're on your fifth baby. Do you have any extra vials? And so we were able to obtain 3 vials of the same donor that we used for my daughter mm-hmm. 12 years later. And so they're biologically Lily's half siblings. Yep. Just yeah. amazing.
And talk yeah. about blending families for sure. Yes.
And we had only 3 vials and it was the third vial and we didn't do anything extraordinary and there's twins.
Yeah.
That's happening.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you, Yolanda.
Thank you.
Wow. This is what you wanted. You make me tear.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, it came as a shock when, you know, Sherry knowing my dreams, it wasn't really a conversation that we had. And it was like, one day I'm like, I just want to have babies one day. She said, well, let's do it then. And it was just okay. And we just did the steps. They just came as they came. You know, it wasn't forced. It wasn't, you know, we weren't trying too hard. It's just everything just kind of landed in place. So
green light brigade.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that sounds like when you got together, you said there was no effort. It just happened. Just easy.
No effort. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I always brought it to Sherry's attention. I'm like, are you sure you're ready to start over? You know, this is big. This is a big thing at, you know, your age and my age, you know.
16 year age gap for those of you who can't see us.
Can't tell though. You look wonderful.
Oh, you're so good. Thank you. I'll take it.
So, you know, just that making sure. And it's just like she came to me and said, I'm sure this is our life.
How's Lily and the boys taking it?
Oh, they were all like, two girls. Lily's always wanted siblings. And, you know, so in the last 2 years, they were friends and then they were, you know, their parents were together and then now they're step siblings and now they're having siblings together. Yeah. So they've had a lot of quick changes in the last. We just trust that, you know, they'll all be okay. There's lots of love.
Yeah. It's funny because before we started this, we were playing with the idea and we were just kind of, I think we were just securing the vials at the point when Lily was like, you're my only hope. You're my only hope to have siblings. And we didn't let the kids know anything. They didn't know the process. We didn't let them know until we were, I think,
almost three months
pregnant.
So they haven't known very long.
Yeah, I think it was the end of February is when we told them.
I think it's going to be really healing for the boys because they have several siblings and they had a little baby sister and that got adopted out away from them. And they were about to be separated when they got adopted.
The boys were.
So this whole process, I think they've grown to love Lily as a sister and then to get a second chance at having
more siblings. The home,
I think it's going
to
be very
Daniel has definitely said, you know, it'll be nice to be able to be raised with my siblings in my house. So there's that piece too. Yeah. It's a lot of giving with this situation here.
And receiving.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. So excited for you two. Yeah, oh, my word.
So much happening.
Yeah. I do want to say, you know, when we were talking about preparing for this program, you guys had mentioned like, what was your coming out story early on? And like, I've lived different places. So I've been witness to the struggle, like in Tennessee, in Colorado. There's still so many places that are so not open, not integrated, not friendly, like that you walk the streets. If you're holding your person's hand, you feel like you could die. And that's never been the experience for either one of us here in California. Like we are such in a beautiful bubble. And so many people that I believe that live here have done the work, you know, your generations, like, and my beautiful older friends are like, they work so hard. And a lot of people are here on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. That have created that. Like my mom was always just open. We were born, raised Methodist. She's like, I just want you to be happy. Because I was married to a man, I had girlfriends. I've always been bisexual more and same with you.
Yeah.
We've both been pretty fluid actually. And I just wanted to touch on that, talking about how fortunate we are.
Yeah. Same with me. My mom was my first real open relationship with a woman was my ex-wife. I was 19 and I told my mom and she's like, as long as you're happy, you know, same thing. I think the only issues that I had was the actual relationship with my ex-wife. She was a don't hold my hand. You know, we're not in a relationship. Didn't introduce me as her partner and stuff like that. I think that it was more of an internal thing with the relationship rather than it being out and open, because I was very open and affectionate and I wasn't that closeted person.
She was for sure.
And you know, I respected it for a while, and then you know, after 14 years it's like, okay, I've been around for 14 years. What are we telling people now? You know, and then we got married the last year and it was still a struggle for her. And I said, I'm sorry, but I cannot be in the closet with you anymore.
That's huge. That's a big decision. Yeah. That's a hard one. I mean, it's your freedom, right?
Yeah.
That's what we want is freedom.
Exactly. After 14 years. And like I said, you know, it wasn't that I was like, oh no, I can't be with you because you're closeted gay. It was a lot of work. You know, I offered, let's go to therapy. Let's, you know, let's find some ways. It don't have to be all over you or whatever, but it was, she refused to be open in any form. And it's like, okay, so where do we start? Where does the progress start with you? You know, it wasn't like, I need you to be open for us. I needed, you know, it was more of a, how can I help you be comfortable with yourself? because if she doesn't work on herself, we're never going to work. So there was a constant block with that. And it gets to a point where enough's enough and you can't change somebody who doesn't want to change themselves.
Yeah, shame is crippling, as we all know.
So hearing your stories, I'm resonating with you, Sherry, and your voice right now. You have many voices, but your singing voice, I don't know. I just love the gospel and I love singing and I love the messages that comes with singing.
Yeah.
And it's like every segment there's should be a song.
Yeah, right.
Coming from you. You know what I mean? It's like that's a whole album in itself, your life story. You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody else is picking up what I'm feeling here. The energy around the pregnancy, the energy around the freedom of coming out, the energy around the other topics that we talked about. I just feel like there's something, you know what I mean? It's just really powerful.
It's all grace, man. It's all grace. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, speaking of your voice, can you share your voice with us? Can you sing us a little something, something?
Speaking of grace, I'll just go with the standby.
Okay. Sure. That'd be fantastic.
And let's see. It's early morning here.
Yeah.
We'll see.
No pressure.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a woman like me. I was lost, and now I'm fine. I was blind, but now I see.
Oh my word.
That's my wife.
Oh, baby.
You can catch me at the Apple Blossom Festival on April 23rd.
Wow. Oh, I love it. Tears just rolled out of my eyes. I mean, that's where it hits my soul, my core. I love you. Taking ownership of that, Yolanda. That's my wife. I would have that boy singing to me every night, every day. Sing to me, honey. Sing to me.
It's so funny. We kind of laugh about it. I'm like, I haven't had, you know, since we got married, the pandemic's happened and all that. I'm like, I haven't had my rock star wife. Like, I haven't had that portion of you, you know, because of the pandemic. She hasn't been on stage. And, you know, I've seen her on stage as my friend and, you know, when we were first dating, but as my wife. And I'm like, where's my rock star wife?
She's right here, I swear. Yeah,
there you go.
Oh my gosh, so gorgeous.
Oh.
Can't wait to hear more of you.
So when is the album? Say that date again, because I would like I would like to go.
April 23rd, we're going to be, Hangman's Daughter will be playing the first gig in so long at the Apple Blossom Festival in Sebastopol. I'm not totally sure what time yet, but you know, closer to it, you can pull it up online and I'm sure they'll list us when we're...
And your group is called?
And Hangman's Daughter. And then May 15th, we're doing a benefit at Hop Monk in Sebastopol. I think it starts at 4 o'clock for the Redwood Food Bank.
Oh.
And there's going to be myself and Petty Theft and David Lenning. There's going to be, it's going to be a really cool.
Ah, May 15th,
yeah,
did you
that's
say?
May 15th. Awesome. Yay.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And my book comes out April 6th also.
What's your book called?
Shaman Heart, Turning Your Pain into Passion and Purpose.
And where can people get it?
You can get it on Amazon. It's going to be on Amazon, or you can message me on Your Zen Matters. I'll have a little link on there also.
All right. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you both so much for being on our show. We are out of time, except for one last thing, which is words of wisdom from each of you. What would you like the listener to know about you, about life, about the world? What words of wisdom do you have? Yolanda, could you go ahead?
Words of wisdom for me, for our relationship, I always try to go to bed with laughter, for sure. You know, checking in with my wife and seeing where she's at and trying to get some laughter before we close our eyes. The other thing I'm actually trying to teach our children this too is to pick out the word but. You're speaking in, I'm sorry, but X, Y, and Z. I think but has a lot of charge. And if we just substitute it with the word and, it can have a really, really big delivery and have some meaning towards it. So
thank you.
Yeah.
That's very,
That's
very wise, that's Yolanda.
Thank you, honey. I like that.
Sherry, what you got?
Yeah. She sneaks up on you. She just sneaks up on you with this great wisdom. Gosh, words of wisdom. What I know more than anything is that mostly whatever you're experiencing in life is just a projection from the inside to the outside. And so if you just always hold the mirror up, first, really be curious instead of accusatory, especially to yourself. You know, there's so many people that aren't going to be nice to us, and we don't need to be one of them. We just don't. I don't care what you're going through. Be curious and compassionate. And from that place, everything's possible.
Wow.
Everything's possible.
And breathe. And breathe.
And. Yeah. Breathe. Oh, yes. Breathe. Breathe until you are surprised.
Both of you, thank you so much for being on our show.
Really, thank you.
Sherry Phillips, yeah. Yolanda Phillips Guzman. And we want everyone to remember, like Sherry and Yolanda, you too can be living proof that through sharing your wisdom and your experience, you can make our world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we will be back next month. Until then,
good night.
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop me now. And you can.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCB-FM Roanoke Park and KRCG-FM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Beale Street Caravan is next.